Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Boiling Point Faith and Fire, the show where we talk about the things that everyone's thinking but is, I guess, scared to say out loud because I don't see a lot of you talking about this. This is not comfort Christianity. This is conviction. This is truth under pressure. And if you're here for soft takes, you are in the wrong place. Before we get into it, this is a podcast for informational and commentary purposes only. We share opinions, not professional, legal, medical, or financial advice. Do your research, okay? Use your discernment and take massive responsibility for your own decisions. As always, I'm not doing this alone. I'm joined by my co-host, okay? The no-nonsense truth teller who doesn't flinch when the world is absolutely uncomfortable. Hello, Rory. Let's get into this today.
Hello, how are you doing
I'm good.
today?
I'm laggy. I'm still sleepy lagging, but I haven't had coffee today. That probably could be it.
Are you trying to not have coffee today or something? Are you like on a
It's like a mud water, okay? So it's like thick and grainy, and some days I just can't stomach it.
Wow. Okay, anything that's called mud water, probably not somewhere I'm going.
Water. I'm guessing it looks
But
like mud water, like
I
something
mean,
to the
you
end of
know.
it, y'all. I chew the end of it, so.
Without my coffee, I'd just be laying here in a heap. You know what I mean? It'd be you and the Christmas tree. I wouldn't even be part of this.
That's how I feel today. I feel like a heap.
Right, what do you want to attack today?
You know, I mean, I can't. My brain is just still in this Epstein space because so much stuff is out,
Yeah.
and it's everybody. It is everybody, you guys, and it is mind-blowing. It is so much to comprehend that I think I don't even know. And I'm talking to my husband yesterday, and he's like, you know, what makes people like this? He thinks that it's not all of them, like that they're all evil. And I kind of see his point. He just thinks it starts as like access, favors, protection, money, validation, like a sense of being chosen. So I don't think everyone's brain was like wired specifically to be evil, and that they're just wake up one day and they're like, Hail Satan. Which is what I'm thinking. I'm like, all these guys just like wake up and just choose the devil. But I think there's this whole side of this world where, you know, bribery wasn't always cash. Like, I think people have gotten status, immunity, belonging. And this is what I know to be true. Just bringing some listen bitch stuff over here with how obsessed I am with our brains. Like, once you cross a line like this, like the brain does not forgive. It's rationalizing. So the nervous system like shifts into that threat management, right?
Yeah.
Like hide, justify, and then they double down. 'Cause shame is like getting buried. It's just buried, and empathy is dull. And then like self-deception is their survival, really. And I feel like the deeper they've gone, the harder it is to turn back because what happens? You admit the truth, and that means facing consequence, and you lose identity and power and safety all at once. So instead of stopping, it's like they escalate. Because what am I seeing to be true? It's they want more control. They want more coercion. They want more manipulation, power, bribery, you know, and all of a sudden, like the system they entered just owns them. And that's what I see. It just owns all these people. And I think they've lost a level of integrity. And it blows my mind because, like, what is happening right now? Like, evil is out in the open for everybody to see it.
Right.
And, you know, I'm on this, one of my friends put out a post yesterday, and she's like, you know, something about, are we pissed off enough? Are we not pissed off enough yet? They're eating babies. She didn't say that. She put a little emoji of a baby. And I could not believe the people in the comments who were like, I just don't believe this is happening. Like, you guys, evil is out in the open, and I'm just like, how is it still invisible to people? You
Yeah,
know, and
they're not hiding it anymore.
it's not hidden, it's out there. People are just like, oh, it's not happening. You know how many confirmed reports I've seen on top of what already gutted me last week? Like, it just keeps getting darker and darker
Right.
because whistleblowers are coming out. People are talking about one of the, there's still islands all over the place. You guys understand that, right? And the biggest one right now that I've seen is in Taiwan. still happening. Guess what they're doing out there? It's out there.
Yeah, and nobody's talking about it.
Nobody is talking about it. I logged on to Zoom and I'm scrolling through what's on the news headline. You know, I'm seeing everybody talk about a news anchor's mom is missing. And I'm not saying I don't care about that. Like, that's not okay. That's horrifying. But you know how many people are missing right now? You know how many kids are missing? And because she's what, a top news lady, it's getting all the articles, but we're not talking about all the kids that are on a dinner plate today.
We're not talking about anything else.
We're not talking.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Right.
And ICE and the news lady.
Right.
I'm seeing, and it makes me sick because these are the people that are just going to keep their head in the sand because this is where they trust to get their news. And I don't know, like, are they just crawling inside themselves? Because I don't know. Like, why couldn't you see the truth? It doesn't really affect the story that you've built your life on, right? To see the truth. So I just am like, everybody has to see this.
You bring up an interesting point, though. I mean, it's an interesting question. And if you go all the way back to the beginning of the episode here, it kind of starts with it's this sort of behavior, this thinking, these tendencies, which are just disgusting. I mean, disgusting doesn't even sum it up. You know, it's not a strong enough word that we're seeing because of everything that's coming out and all the stuff that's being made public now. So you have to kind of wonder, is it that all these people just happen to be this way, and because you're that way, you gravitate towards government, and that's how you get in? Or is there a part of being in government and having that sort of absolute power that just corrupts you at your core and allows for this sort of evil and just absolute, disgust to somehow become normal? You know what I mean? Because we all have a propensity for evil, every one of us. I mean, that's in the Bible and history have been proven, right? So it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Are they that way, so that's where they go? Or they go there and then they become that way? Your thoughts? I don't know. I mean, I could almost fall on either side of that. I guess I want to think about that for a minute.
I think it's probably been both. I think it's just a little bit of both, and it's so messy, just the fact that it is everybody. It's everybody. It's even the people that we thought were the good guys. It's
Well, yeah.
okay. I'll get into that too.
That's
But
a whole other conversation, right?
yeah, like I do think that there's, I mean, people are chosen selectively. I think that there's been this whole agenda where people are targeted and chosen. Like, I mean, if we look at Vance, right? I like the guy, but he's got a handler. I mean, Peter Thiel's had his hands in him from day one, right? And what does this guy represent? What is he? So yeah, I think people are chosen. And what happens? Okay, like I had this conversation with Benjamin too yesterday, where I'm just like, every chance I've ever had. I started bartending at 18 in Colorado. That was legal. Nobody freak out. At Texas Roadhouse or whatever, this chain. Okay. I had these two couples, like older couples, look like grandma and grandpa, the very sweetest, like never made me feel any kind of way. And they tell me one day, they're like, we're heading out tomorrow, meet us at the airport, and why don't you come out with us? And this is after I had talked to them about, like, even I started modeling when I was a kid, and the photographer tried to get me to go to Milan with him, and like little things. And I just always had this weird feeling of like, don't do it. And my childhood is jacked, you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know any history of me, I was out there by myself. I didn't have anybody to teach me discernment or, you know, to lead me in any kind of way. And I kept having this deep feeling of like, don't go. Like, they're like, you're going to be rich. We're going to set you up. Don't do it. All these times I've had this chance. And I think, is what is different about me? Because I know obviously people say yes to that. Young girls are saying yes to those people. They're selling out. What is it about me? Like, how did, and all I can think is like, but God had a bigger plan for me, and he gave me this discernment. And the fact that I was so desperate, like even as a kid, I knew he existed, but he's who I cry to all the time. So I'm glad. My grandma used to take me to church when I was little, and I think that built a core foundation of a knowing, of just a knowing. Even if I went off the rails for a very long time, there was just this always this knowing. So is it people that have no idea that there's a God? You know, is that what saved me? Because there was a little seed planted once upon a time in Sunday school that God exists. I don't know. But I do know I had these terrible feelings, and I know I would be one of those people. I'd be one of the people that were bought and sold and used to manipulate people. So I think, you know, you take these guys in here and they get caught doing something, and then it probably gets worse, right? It's like they hire these young girls to go meet up at a bar. They target someone. You've got someone who just got out of law school, you know, whatever that looks like, and they get his background. I think they know everything about everybody, and they just start the manipulation. So all of a sudden he ends up sleeping with a 16-year-old, and these guys are like, hey, we know about this. We're going to keep it to ourselves, but we need you to do this. And then what happens next? Well, you know, this is a little worse. We need you to do this to show that you're still a part of this. And then here's $200,000, you know? And then I think it just keeps getting worse. You know, there's a kid downstairs that's being unruly. You know, do whatever you have to do. I don't know. I don't know, but I think it's a snowball of just like decisions and choices and briberies. And they've all just sold out. And like I said, once you sell out, your brain, that's, you can't survive any other way.
That's interesting.
You do it, you defend it, you talk it down.
Yeah. You know, there's a well-known intelligence operative, he's so well known I can't remember his name, but he wrote a book and he's been interviewed, and he's been deep in the CIA, and he has like a code name, and that's the only name you know him by because he's like that deep still. But one of the things that he came out and said that has stuck with me for years is that the problem with our country and the reason that we are always having issues internationally is because we think about things 5 years from now. We make our plans through intelligence and planning and everything else, planning for 5 years from now. China, and through China, their willing idiot, right? Russia. China thinks 50 years from now. And so when you just consider that there's actually a regime out there that's making plans with what they're doing today that's going to impact things 50 years from now, you kind of have to stop and go, I wonder if there's truth to what you're dancing around right now, which is, you find the people when they're young and they make the mistakes, right? They have these proclivities, they have these awful tendencies. When they're younger, they find them, they use those to control them, and now you've got the useful idiot. Now you've got the person that's, completely under your control, and you groom them and you put them up. It doesn't take that long to do that.
How long have they been watching us? I mean,
That's what I mean. It's been decades and decades and decades, right? So
long before cell phones, long before
yeah.
cameras on the computer, like whenever they admit to saying, like, okay, well, we started spying on the American people, right? The phone taps, everything. I had a guy on my show who made it very clear, like, phone taps have existed for a very long time, and everybody's in on it.
100%.
It's like they just listen for keywords. It's however long they admitted that they'd been watching us, I say add like 20, 40, 60 years to that, because that's probably how long it's been forever. So
Right.
yeah, it's they play the long game, and they just
Right.
pull up in this. And then, you know, we let Hollywood get big, we let music get big, and right there hooks in everybody. You want the record label? This is what you're going to have to do for it. You know, you want to have these movies. This is what you're going to do for it. And Brandon, you want to do your book? This is what you're going to have to do for it. Do I know it
Right.
starts there? It starts there. And where does it go after that? Because once you sell out, I mean, where do you go from there?
Right.
Where do you go from there?
And did we let Hollywood get big, or was that the plan? Because, I mean, that sort of distraction goes all the way back to the Roman Colosseum days, right? When everything's falling apart, your aqueducts aren't working, right? There's literal feces in the street. There's no food, but hey, give them games and keep them entertained, and they'll all be your useful idiots that way. And it worked, right? 100%. She's holding up her phone right now for those of you who are on the audio version, and that is it 100%. You also have to stop and look. Here's another little thought for our tinfoil hat folks, like you and me, is that, when you look at how important the phone is to all of the stuff that they're doing now, it has made surveillance and tapping and knowledge and spying and everything else just commonplace. Then you kind of have to wonder about things like, where did Apple come from?
Yeah.
How did Jobs just wake up one day with the money to do all this? Right? No one ever tells that story. Right. And then, they have this huge dance a while ago about one of the domestic terrorists, and they had his phone. And it's the top story everywhere for at least a month that Apple's refusing to open the phone because your privacy is so important. Why do we get that story?
Yeah.
Right. To let all of us know, hey, nothing's going on here.
Right.
Right. We're just telling you guys everything's good. So we're like, yeah, Apple, keep that away from Big Brother. Meanwhile, it's probably Big Brother who's going, we need to put a story out like this. So, because people are starting to question it. So let's put a story out. The whole thing, and thinking this way, unfortunately, and because there's so much evidence to this, and if the Epstein files, aside from all of the absolute horror that's in it, it also should be teaching us a lesson. And that is that you can't believe anything anywhere with anybody. And so it leads to, this anchor whose mother was supposedly kidnapped and is missing. And all of a sudden, that's the number one story in the entire world, right? And it's really sad because that could be a real story. But it makes me sit here and go, is this the shiny object today because, the Senate is caving on everything, right? And they're actually not going to pass anything that needs to get passed. And they don't want to blame anybody. So let's just throw another distraction out there. All of it just makes you sit back and wonder because the people who come in then, too, that are like Trump, but much smaller, right? They get run out of Dodge. The Jackie Walorskis of the world get hit by a car somehow on accident on a back road with both of her assistants and all of her information and all of her laptops and everything else is gone by some guy who no one's ever heard of and hit him hard enough to kill all three of them. It's not a car accident. It's an assassination. But everywhere you look, this happens. So it really does make you question every single thing. And maybe that's the key, what you're talking about right now. Maybe this is all just a complete play. They're grooming everybody from the start. And we're just enjoying the next chapter in the movie. That
And
sucks.
it does suck. It does suck. And we need people to wake up. We need people to wake up and to see the truth. And that's going to require an incredible level of humility. And I think it takes courage. I'm not going to lie. There's a part of me that's had to be brave to get into all of this. Because I know what's on the other side, and knowing, like I said last episode, knowing is so different than actually seeing it and actually really being there, and you have to let old frameworks collapse, and we have to all be willing to pay that price, when the evidence is right in front of us. I mean, you guys, it's been confirmed. They currently have cloning farms. They buy babies for blood. Baby factory for blood sacrifice and torture and adrenochrome, and all of this stuff is happening. Like, it is confirmed. I'm not making this up. It's not tinfoil hat. You go down a very dark side of reality to see this truth, and it's there. It's there. And it's I get this. There has to be a point where we're trying to process information that our souls were never meant to digest all at once. That's part of that, and our brains are flooded with the people that have seen this. It is horror, it's outrage, it's betrayal. Your nervous system doesn't know the difference now between discernment and danger. So there's a natural feeling of anger, and I'm going to say that's very good. Good. You're human. If you're angry about all of this, good. If you're sick to your stomach, that is normal. Feeling betrayed by all of these institutions and leaders and celebrities and systems, like, welcome to adulthood in a fallen world, because the Bible already warned us there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I don't know about you guys, but when I read the Bible, like, revelation doesn't come gently. It's not like a little tiptoe, like, hey, Rory, get ready.
Right.
It's like a flood, and what does the flood do? It destroys everything that is not anchored. And we're not, I am not telling you guys, like, we were never called to carry the full weight of global evil. We don't carry the weight of that. I just want you to see the truth that it's out there. I want you to know this is happening. But carrying the weight of all that, like, that is God's job, okay? Because we cannot, not even myself, I can't absorb everything. I know how much darker this actually gets. I know we didn't get anything. They sacrificed a few sheep, okay? They
Right.
sacrificed a few sheep. We have no idea. If you're going to try to absorb everything, every file, every accusation, every theory, like, it's not where I want you guys to go here.
They are throwing out a couple of fall guys now. You can see it coming. You know, like the script's been written. You know, oh, George Clooney all over the place. Deepak Chopra.
That one right there.
Like, are you kidding me with this? That's the guy you're going to hang everything on? Maybe he did. I really don't care if he did or he didn't. I mean, sure, if he did, he's guilty. But that's going to be your mastermind? That's the name you're going to throw out to make everybody go home happy? No, come on. They're throwing people out that are no longer relevant. You know, and so if they're gone from the stage, then they're not going to impact anything.
I disagree. I disagree on the relevance, because in my circles, Chopra is a big name. And he was, especially a couple of years ago with everything I was in. You know, so it's just one of those things where you throw out a few sheep, and then people just lose that. It can go one way or the other. Either we're gonna get pissed off and we're gonna wanna fix this and understand that, you know, there are a lot of bad guys behind the faces of good guys and still believe there's good guys. Or there's people that are going to take this and think, wow, so nobody's good. I mean, the Dalai Lama, you guys, and Deepak, those are huge names. And you know, it's like when I first found out about, like, Mother Teresa and the truth of all of that, and, you know, all of that, you start to think, like, there is no good.
See, but doesn't Chopra make total sense?
I
One of
mean,
the things that
yeah.
people are like taking solace in right now, right, is that if they're having trouble with their faith, with you know a religion of some kind, they can still believe in a higher power by believing in the universe, right? They can feel comfortable with it. They can wrap it around them like a warm blanket, and it makes them feel secure, right? I mean, it makes them feel like, hey, I'm okay. You're okay. The world's going to be all right. Well, you can't have that. You have to have everybody in a constant state of fight or flight so that you can control them. So you take the people at the top of that very powerful movement right now and you eliminate them so that everybody in the corral starts running around, right? Because now they're loose and they're free and they don't have a leader and it starts to disrupt everything. And that's what they want. So they're not going to let us have a safe space. That's why they keep going after the churches. You know, the Christians are attacked every single day because our church is our safe place, gives us our grounding, gives us something to believe in that's bigger than all the rest of this stuff. And then they can't control us because we have that bigger faith. So what do? You destroy the church. You go after it. You make the different denominations fight with one another. And they're doing the same thing now with the spiritual, you know, the woo-woo side of things. And when I saw Deepak Chopra's name, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, well, you got to destroy that too, because that's picking up way too much steam. And people are starting to actually, you know, be calm and maybe calm down a little bit and find themselves again. Oh, no, we can't. We're not going to give you an alternative to religion either. We're going to blow that up because we got to keep you running around like a chicken with his head cut off, you know, out in the yard. I'm not buying anything anymore. I've been real red pilled so bad, it's like that's all I have.
I do think that everything they've released has been very specific. There's a reason behind everything, and they're probably thinking 50 years ahead. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. So, but again, you guys, it's biblical.
Yeah.
We've been warned, the false idols, the false teachers, self-appointed influencers that are rising up, drawing people to themselves instead of God. And it's promised. None of it is going to stay hidden. And scripture says what is done in the dark will be brought to the light. And that exposure, like, it's not our revenge, it's God's correction. And our role is not to necessarily worship, or not to worship the exposure.
Okay.
But we're, you know, not, I don't want you guys spiraling in a rage or turn that discernment into like an obsession. I want you guys, our role, our job through this, how we get through this is that we stay anchored, and you have to speak the truth and you have to refuse to participate in the darkness. And that means hold people accountable without becoming corrupted by hate. Call out the evil, protect.
Right.
Leave judgment where it belongs.
That's a great point, too, because the only people, the only one thinking further ahead than China, right, who's thinking 50 years down the road, is the one who's been thinking centuries down the road. And he's been plotting this stuff for centuries, you know, ever since he got tossed out. And, you know, that's the devil, point blank. You know, that's evil at its root right there. This plan, all of these things have been put in motion. They've been, you know, guided and chided and spurred along for centuries, getting to a point where, you know, he actually can make the comeback and everything that is in his way is gone. That's all he's got. So he's been laying the groundwork for all this stuff for a long, long, long time. So we're just starting to kind of wake up to some of these things and see maybe a fraction of it. But, you know, that's where you have to, like, I think, bury yourself into Ecclesiastes and say, look, you know, what everything that's going to happen has already happened.
Yeah.
Right. The battle's already been won. So the only question for all of us is, what is our role going to be in it? You know, what legacy do we leave to our kids? How do we help, you know,
right,
not give into that? Right. Because every time one of us gives into that, he gets closer to winning.
That's what he wants. He wants you to,
right.
He wants you to think that it's hopeless, you're helpless, that, you know, I, even just human thoughts in my brain, when I read the Bible sometimes, and it says like things are going to get worse. And I think of Sodom and Gomorrah, like when things are way worse now. They weren't talking about everything that they're doing to kids right now, and clone farms and human experiments and real vampires. Okay. Like, all this stuff is real. They're messing with the weather. They're messing with everything, bringing the new computer age. And I think it can't get worse, but the Bible keeps saying it's going to get worse. And I think he's got to be coming soon. Right. And that I'm going to be honest, you guys, it used to annoy me when I would meet someone that's older and they're like, oh, look at everything that's happening. He's coming. And I feel like every generation has probably gone through something where they thought it was the end of the world, you know, where they thought God was coming because it's so bad. But then I'm like, no, nothing is this bad. This is bad and it's deep. And we don't even, we haven't even scratched the surface of this, and it's everywhere. It is everywhere. And it's fun when you're a kid, you think hell is this place that you go to underground that's on fire and all the things. You guys, hell is here. It is here, you know, and I just want to make it clear, like, God has not forsaken us. I know that sometimes it feels like that because the world's unraveling, but even the Bible says that in the last days, things will be exposed and deception will be obvious and evil is going to lose the ability to hide. You guys know this doesn't mean God is absent. It means that he is here. He's active. And what looks like chaos is just that revelation. So it's loud and it's ugly and it's messy. And what feels like the end is sometimes God actually separating the truth from the lies. And our call in moments like this isn't panic. It's not despair. It's not to freak out. It is endurance. It is that obedience and clarity. Like, our job is to stay rooted in Christ and not let our love grow cold, to stand for the truth without losing our peace. And no matter how dark things look or how horrific, horrendous the things that are happening around us, we have to remember that he's still on the throne. And it is going to get worse. You guys, these people have sold out. That's why it looks like, right, I wake up every day and I feel like I have more joy than I ever have. Like, little things mean so much more to me. I genuinely just absolutely love life, and I'm excited. I'm like, what's going to happen today? You know, what do I get to create today? Who am I going to get to talk to? Like, what surprises does God have? And I'm just at home with my kids, y'all. Okay. And I put some content out for, you know, the podcast, and I'm like, God, what do people need to hear today? What do I get to tell them? Right? I do this, and then you have these really evil people who wake up on the opposite end of the spectrum, and they're so tortured and haunted that they wake up and they're like, what can I do worse? What can I do worse to bury every voice that's trying to come up inside of me? What can I do worse? So it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop here. We can take all the people on the list, on Epstein's list specifically, all the people there, hold them accountable. But guess what's still happening?
Yeah, for sure.
We can't stop it, but we can become an active voice in the movement of defending that. And it starts with getting your house in order. It starts with really anchoring in God. Okay, I started a podcast. I started that political podcast a while back, but y'all, I wasn't reading the Bible at that time, and it just didn't work out for me. I was feeling sick all the time. I was feeling stressed out. I just didn't get it. There is no way I could do this show and have these conversations if I didn't anchor myself with God. I would have gotten mad. I'd probably look like a liberal just every day. Like, sometimes I still feel it, right? Like the rage and stuff. But like, there's no way. I'm telling you guys, you cannot be in this world and not have God as your anchor. It's impossible. And you're not going to feel good. So if you're not feeling good now, I'm saying open the Bible. Like, that's our job right now. Because then everything's not a surprise, right? It's not. You know your job. Get right with God, get your family in order, and call out evil. That's our job.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Wow. You know, that's it. We could talk all day about sort of like what can you do? What you're talking about right now is the first step, because you not only have to be aware of it and you have to acknowledge that it's like there, but you have to bury yourself in your faith so that you have the strength to perform the earthly functions that you need to perform to be useful, to help the right side plan for 50 years from now. So that, you know, it's, you've said before, and I've heard you say it multiple times, that evil doesn't, you know, really have to win. They just have to have enough good men do nothing. And when enough good people do nothing, then evil wins without trying. And that's where we can't fall. You know, so to get the strength to be able to move forward and to be able to say, hey, what can I do as part of the resistance, you know, so to speak? Well, you got to bury yourself in your faith so that you can hear that message. Otherwise, you're never going to get it.
Right.
You're going to be looking around in all the wrong places for that message. You know, trying to figure it out, like walking through a room with the light off. And we just can't do that. We can't do that. We got to have some guidance as to, hey, you may want to go here. You know, and then we can decide what we can do in earthly means to get there. Yeah, good stuff though.
It's crazy.
Yeah, very thought-provoking this morning. I mean, you can't load it to bear. Wow.
Yeah. Mess. It's just a big tangled mess. And yeah, I don't even know. I don't know. It's you know, a political podcast, and I just don't even see politics anymore. I don't see politics today. I don't see it. I see good versus evil, and
Yeah.
I say we have to get really loud about the common sense core policies that are going to be important for the future of our kids, you know, and our kids' kids. And we have to be the voice to show our kids that there is a voice, you know.
There is a path forward. There is a way to work towards change and to, you know, actually get out of the stuff that we're in. It can't be done though with everybody going, hey, you know what? We all recognize that these are two wings of the same bird, and so we're just not going to have it. We've tried that in the past. What happens every single time is a few of us who feel like we can actually see behind the curtain, we form a third party, The third party doesn't do anything other than guarantee that the wrong party wins. And then you have 4 more years of more pain and suffering than you should have had, which sets the entire cause back, years and years and years. People, I think, forget what Ross Perot did. Everybody talks about, Clinton is in the news now. And the only reason we had 8 years of Bill Clinton was directly because of Ross Perot. And for those of you who don't know, independent businessman who decided he was going to run as an independent. And okay, you just proved the point.
Yeah, exactly.
You just proved the exact point. Democrats, liberals, they will never stray. They're going to go down with their ship. The only people who ever go to a third candidate, a third party of any kind, are conservatives who are more conscientious. Libertarians are not normally liberals. They're conservatives who are looking behind the curtain and don't like what they see. The right is the only side that ever gets hurt by a third party. And so what you end up doing is when you vote for the third party, you're voting for the Democratic candidate.
Right.
When you look at the difference between Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, and you look at the difference between him and George Bush Sr., 90% of the people, 90 plus percent of the people who voted for Ross Perot were conservatives. If you take 90% of Ross's vote and you give it to either Bush or Dole, they both beat Clinton. That's how bad it is. It's just math. So we can't do it that way. Unfortunately, we have to find a way to work within the current system and sort of come up from within it to blow it up. And that's tougher. That requires thinking 50 years ahead, not five.
No, I'm glad you're saying this because I've never looked at that perspective. I haven't. And I, I have friends now, so I'm asking Rory for advice, for the dad advice today. I have a few good friends who are just done with it, and they're done with Republican, they're done with Democrat. And I don't care what the name is. I want my policies that I think are important. So what's the conversation I need to be having when every single day their post is, "You idiots are still Republican or Democrats. We're still doing that, the red or blue pill." All those comments every day. So what do you think is the best? How do you engage in that conversation without bringing on their defensiveness? What's the common sense answer?
That's a tough one because that's really where we are, right? Because I see the same thing. I read comments, and stuff, and there's always at least one person or small contingent of people in the comments going, "I'm tired of both of you, both sides. I don't want to hear it anymore." But if you track it back, those people who are ready to just be done with all of it normally are conservative in the roots, and that's who we're losing. So that's the problem. Just like back when McCain ran against Obama, you had conservatives stay home because McCain was a very moderate candidate. They didn't like him.
Yeah.
So they said, "Hey, I'm not going to go vote for a guy I don't like." Well, what they did by doing that was vote for Obama.
I'm in the presidency.
Exactly. That's why he won twice, because we put up two moderate candidates in a row from the right, and people stayed home both times. It wasn't until they put up somebody who was, an outlier that people showed up. And that was Trump every single time. So we got to learn from this stuff. People who are saying right now, "I'm fed up with both sides," I'm glad. And so what needs to happen is there needs to be a third party that is formed within one of the two parties.
Yeah.
And then that party needs to take over the existing party.
Right.
Okay, you see a little bit of it now where there's like a MAGA party, and then there's also a, non-MAGA, right-wing party, and they fight with each other, right? So it's kind of like they're trying that right now. It's not going to work. This is not going to work because MAGA has not, they haven't followed through on too many things. They've dropped the ball too many times. It needs to be 100% dedication, and you need to get into the party and infiltrate the side that's going to do the least damage to you while you're building the third party within that party. You go the other way, and I mean, if you tried to build it within the Democratic Party right now, I mean, if you're a Democrat and you speak out on any one single item and you're against the grain, they come after you with pitchforks.
Eat you alive.
Oh my gosh, they do. They will eat their own
Yeah.
over there. And so there's total obedience on that side. So the only place you can have a different opinion and recruit to your new third party is if you're within the safe confines of, you know, the right side of the party. It's the only way you get it. And then you can change the right from inside, and then you can beat the left, and then you have a third party who won. You know, but it's going to be tough. It's going to take a heck of a lot, but that's how it's got to be done.
And you think the power of this party is possible with global elites pulling puppet strings with briberies, and they own the government. They're running the world. That's real to me. So how does this party get power if they're not going to sell their souls for it?
I think that a lot of it's timing. When you look at who the, you know, elites are that are behind the scenes that are pulling the strings, they're not 25 years old. This has been going on for a long, long time, and they've never had technology the way they have it now. So, you know, Bilderberg and all these other places have been able to operate in silence. You know, the Carnegies and the Rockefellers have been able to do what they've been doing for years and years and years. Israel's been able to do what they've been doing for years and years and years because there's no light being shed in any of the corners, right? So this evil can just sit there. Technology, you know, allows them to do more damage to all of us, but it also allows us to see behind the curtain if we're willing to look. So I think that coupled with the fact that there's so many of the original founders of this plan that are going to die. They're not going to be around. George Soros is not going to be around 10 years from now.
I mean, there's a Soros Jr. that's walking right in his footsteps, though.
Yeah, but again, you know, you look at the inherited wealth, you look at the inherited position, you know, not the person who created it, the one who, you know, grew up with the, you know, the Rolls Royce taking him to private school, right? They're not the same. They're not the same people. So, and you know this as well as anybody. When you've been given something, it doesn't have the same meaning to you as if you've had to fight for it.
Yep.
And we as a culture have had to fight for more than a lot of generations that were standing in before us. You know, the baby boomers didn't have to go fight for something. Sorry to all the baby boomers out there. You know, they picked a path, they went down it, it was great. You know, dad goes to work. And mom stays home with the kids, and you can afford a house, two cars, you know, school, food, vacations, and college. They're doing everything they can to break it all down. So at some point, we have to fight it. It's got to be us. But it's got to be done from the inside. It's going to take a lot of planning. It's going to take a lot of the key people doing it. So in order to even start it, you got to keep the totalitarian party out of power for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Or you can't even have the conversations. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, my thoughts. That's it.
That just means we can't be disheartened and stay focused on the policies. Because the right party is going to stick you in the, you know what I'm saying? Like the policies are going to align every single time.
Yeah.
Even if the name changes. Because I do feel like it's gone back and forth. And right now, my ethics, my core values, my beliefs align with everything Republican. Two genders, no men in the women's bathroom, bring back insane asylums immediately.
Right? So that's where you go.
Yeah.
And that's where you work from within.
Yeah.
To change what's going on there. That's the only way to do it. The third party is a great idea, but that's is way too much power, and the numbers don't add up. They never have.
For policies. Well, I'm good for today if you want to close us out.
Awesome. Love everything you brought today. And when you get going, it's just, I just love having a front row seat to it because, I mean, you just come packed with fire and faith. You are the title of the podcast, kiddo. Let me just tell you. 100%. And I love it. But I'm just happy to be here. I love being your partner on the show and getting to talk about these things. I hope that anything that we said today, it just makes somebody think for 2 seconds. You know, hey, that's a good point. What about that? Or, hey, I never thought about that. Maybe. Folks, if you get that out of this, then we've done our jobs. Because all we're trying to do is break down convention, break down the wall, and allow you to start thinking outside of the box. That's it.